It's episode 44, and the boys have been on a day trip to Cheap Show.
Got to meet Leighton Jay.
Leighton Jay, standout character, Leighton. If you ever listen to this, Leighton, don't talk to me about Limp Bizkit Jay.
The McRib is back, but is it worth it? The boys have tasted McDonald's latest.
Yeah, I don't have them often, but I do like them, and yeah, I won't get another one.
You know what's nice?
The Chicken Big Mac.
The boys take NHS-approved pretests for ADHD and autism with surprising results.
Oh.
Only one of mine wasn't in the dark boxes.
Only one of mine wasn't in the dark boxes, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Tom and Rob have modernised two fairy tales. Will you read them to your kids?
Oh, boy. So much to decompress on that. So much to decompress.
Yeah.
That's it. That's everything. Let's go and give it a listen, shall we?
Welcome back to the Variety Show podcast with me, Tom, and him, Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hello, mate.
How are you doing?
Good. Face hurts.
Yeah. We've just done this is our second recording of the evening. We've had to force recordings together this evening just to make sure we get something out, not just for the Variety Show, but for the Untitled Trek Show in 2 weeks' time.
Mm.
Oh, it was a good episode.
Yeah,
though.
So if you like
Star Trek and you like us being absolutely stupid,
yeah,
go and listen to that one. A lot of fun. What have you been up to this week? You got rammed by an ambulance, I understand.
Yeah, ambulance went in the back of me.
Normally a doctor, but this time it was a whole ambulance.
It was the entire ambulance. He brought his vehicle with him this time. it's never ending, that poor van. It's still waiting to get sorted from the fuck up from the garage, and now it's just been hit in the back end. Luckily, it's literally no damage at all, not even a scratch. He took a massive piece of plastic off of his ambulance. To him, it must have felt like he just drove into a brick wall.
One thing I will say about the old Volkswagens, they are bricks.
Yeah, I think it's like scar tissue on the van now. It's all hard. That back bumper's just hardened up.
Nice. And how are you doing on Cult of the Lamb?
Yeah, just excuse me.
No.
Yeah, really far now. Yeah, killed the fifth boss. Lots happening.
Yeah, I like the fact you've said you've killed the fifth boss, and it turns out that's only 60% of the game complete.
Well, I've said that in an episode which is in the future.
Yeah, but they didn't know about that. So now they know that we've discussed this twice, and I'm trying to be all fresh and new, and we've not discussed this.
Well, no, because you've said that, and then I'm going to announce that, and you're going to go, oh, really? I didn't know that.
But that's very true, but it's timey-wimey stuff, and that's always confusing.
But yeah, I think when you've completed the game, it's completed the game, air quotes, you see the credits, and I think by what they give you afterwards, yeah, I reckon you're only about 60% of the way in.
I'm really tempted. I'm going to try and see if I can find out anything about whether it's going to disappear off Game Pass anytime soon. Sorry, PS Plus.
Mm.
And if there does look like they are going to chop it at some point, I may actually invest in this because I feel like it is one of those games I would like to keep.
I want to say it's $8.99, but I'm not sure.
It's an indie game. And to be honest, if it is only $8.99, I would, even with the glitches and slowdown you get when a day starts, I'm happy to accept that if that £9 goes to an indie developer that can create a game as good as Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah, what a great game.
Otherwise, anything else? Anything fun you've been up to?
Anything fun, really?
No, fair enough.
To be perfectly honest, no.
I mean, obviously, just going to London to see Cheap Show Live, meeting our fellow Studio Channel 84 podcast host wasn't fun to Rob, so don't worry, everyone. He just
thought about that. Yeah, no, that was fucking awesome.
It was a really good day, and I guess we'll talk about that now.
What do you get when you let 240-something comedians on stage in Balham, the live, cheerful, earful Cheap Show event?
First of all, we've got to mention that, we got to meet Karen, Adam, and Simon from Studio Channel 84.
The first time you'd met.
I've met Karen and Adam before at Digitizer.
You met Adam before as well? All right.
I think so, yeah. Again, it's all very sketchy in my head. I was doing Digibus at the time. So,
oh, you're busy. Yeah,
yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to who I was meeting and when. Just how lovely our co-hosts are from their shows. It was just so nice to finally meet them and just chill out in the morning, head into London, see Cheap Show, which we'll talk about in a moment, then come back and just have a really nice dinner. And you got birthday presents.
I did, yeah.
I got just being alive presents, which was really nice. And yeah, it was just a really good time. So just remember, ladies and gents, we are part of the Channel 84, Studio Channel 84 podcast network that's Lightly Used and Who Takes the Socks Off, plus obviously the Variety Show and the Untitled Trek Show. Mm. So do go and check those people out.
Yeah, the show was great. And we met loads of other people who we kind of know just from like Twitter or other podcasts or it's just Discord stuff. So obviously we met Matt from Pint with Cthulhu and Cartman for the first time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Got to meet them for the first time. We got to meet Leighton Jay.
Leighton Jay, standout character, Leighton. If you ever listen to this, Leighton, don't talk to me about Limp Bizkit Jay.
Oh yes.
That was hilarious.
Leighton, I'm not a fan of Limp Bizkit Jay. And Leighton, I'm quite obviously now on a naughty brownie Jay.
yeah, that brownie really got to him. Cliff.
Oh, Cliff's
the amazing
wonderful.
Cliff on Twitter.
We've only met him through Biffo's brain.
Yeah, yeah.
But Cliff is just lovely. He's such a nice bloke, and obviously does his retro gaming podcast as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it basically was a big place for us to meet lots of other podcasters.
And Jason and Rich from What's Wrong with Rolfie.
Yeah, we got to meet them as well.
Guys. They were very nice.
Obviously, there was the Cheap Show crew there as well, the show itself was absolutely fantastic. There will be a live recording up at some point soon on YouTube, and that's captured the entire show in its greatness. I've got to say, Paul and Eli would just absolutely stand out as normal. I mean, how they A, keep the energy up, and B, come up with what they do on stage, I don't know, but it didn't just feel like a normal episode. It felt so much more. Suze Kempner was just fucking brilliant. She really, really had me laughing. And then, as always, Ethan Lawrence just bringing it and just absolutely fantastic.
Ash was hilarious too.
And then, finally finishing it with Ash Frith, who, again, is just an incredibly funny comedian. It's just a really good group of people.
I feel like they had to reel him in a bit, because he could almost start, he almost was like about to do a stand-up, because he just started going off on Paul like at the beginning.
Oh, the Paul,
and Paul, like, Paul had to
saying
reel
head
him
and
in.
Shoulders, and Ash going, well, it was wash and go to start with, for fuck's sake.
He just like, and he just was going, I think a couple of times, basically every time that Ash was speaking, Paul had to reel him in, because Ash was just it's brilliant.
But that's the beautiful thing about Cheap Show, how much of it is scripted or pre-planned versus actually how much of it is just natural growth of what they're doing. And it's really interesting. See, when you've seen some of the backside of it and seeing how much effort Paul puts into it, it's really clever.
I get the impression that he actually writes loads and none of it gets followed. That's the energy that it gives. Like, I almost like he puts these positions, kind of like your call sheets. Like, this is the timings.
Yeah.
These are the
and
things
we
that
them.
We must need, we have to get through at these points in time. And then he gives it to everyone. Everyone just goes, yeah, fuck it. Just gets on with it. And it had that energy in a good way.
Oh,
they had to skip a whole section because it started late, but also, which wasn't their fault, it just started
then
then
it overran as
but
any...
then just, you know, each bit just kept going because you can't stop them when get going. You've got to let it happen.
Exactly. It's got to just naturally occur, and it was just what they did was fantastic.
My face hurt afterwards. And we were the back row. I think Leighton put it on Twitter that he said, I finally felt like one of the cool kids at the back of the bus, because we were like our row of eight.
Were the loudest, noisiest people in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. We weren't being horrible. It was, you could tell that we were there.
I kept on looking over because I was running around with the camera filming it, and it's a, oh, yeah, I can hear them still. They're having a good time. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right by that back camera. So if it's got a microphone on it, all you're going to hear is me cackling.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Matt was the other side of it too. So just be me and him just go, all the way through.
And just also highlights how lovely the crowd is, because everyone was just so nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, for me, go and what? If you didn't get to go, which is a huge shame, but I understand London isn't for everyone. It's South London. For God's sake, it took us nearly 2.5 hours to get home and we were driving. Mm. And it took nearly 1 hour and 45 minutes to get there. And the train would have been just as bad. In fact, most of the trains were probably cancelled from St Albans. So I get that not everyone are going to want to go into London, mm-hmm. which is why I'm hoping Paul's aired some ideas that he's going to do Leicester again, and he's going to look at maybe doing Edinburgh next year, which would be very exciting, because I might actually take a ticket up there. Mm. I like Edinburgh. I like a little trip. Be quite a nice little kind of weekend away. Mm. But we'll see how it goes. But it's nice that they're going to give other Cheap Show fans the opportunity.
Yeah.
But all I can say is, if it's as any of their shows, if they're as good as this one was, anyone that goes is going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, really. It's, for me, just really good show. Have you got anything?
No, I loved every. I loved every minute. I don't really want to say, because I want to let people who do listen to us to actually watch.
I'll say one of my. First. I will say the favorite part of it for me was definitely the acting out the old records.
Yeah, without a doubt, my favourite.
That was something that I am very keen on maybe stealing the idea of it at some point.
It was almost like what we do on the Trek show in the next episode. Similar,
indeed.
Remember when "I'm loving it" was something you could genuinely say about McDonald's? Doesn't it feel much more like "I'm slumming it now"?
I hear you've had a McRib.
I did have a McRib, yeah. What the fuck's all the fuss about?
They're shit, aren't they?
It's rubbish.
Okay, so it's just a pork patty with a bit more herbs than their breakfast one that you get in the McMuffins, basically.
The barbecue sauce on it.
It's squidgy. The barbecue sauce is just a bog standard barbecue sauce. There was nothing exciting about the McRib at all.
You know what I was expecting? Maybe I've seen a picture of an American one or something. Literally ribs, but without the bone. Like the shape of the ribs, like pieces of the ribs, sections of it, with the bone taken out. In there, in pieces, like actual bits, like mini ribs or whatever, all glazed and in the bun. But not literally just, when I got it, it was like, just a slab of meat with barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Do you know what's really embarrassing?
What's that?
I went, after I'd had my McRib, the next day, I went and bought a Rustler's rib one.
Yeah, and it's nicer?
It's nicer.
Yeah, I can bet.
It's got nicer texture, nicer flavour. The bun is nicer if you put it in a toaster first. Everything about the Rustler's one was better than the McDonald's McRib. Yeah. I do not know why people are losing their shit over it. I really don't get it.
By the sound of what I've seen, it hasn't been in the UK or something for like 10 years or some fucking bollocks. And apparently they've changed the recipe as well. But yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why, like in America, there's like this thing where everyone runs out to go get it and they sell out everywhere, because it's fucking dog shit. Just get a Big Mac. If you're going to McDonald's, the things to buy at McDonald's, either get a Big Mac or the standard 99p cheeseburger.
Double cheeseburger. That's what you need.
The selects are brilliant.
Oh, selects are very nice, but you might as well then just go to KFC.
Well, yeah, exactly. But if you are going to McDonald's, because maybe you like the chips from McDonald's or the milkshake, because I like
the
milkshake.
The barbecue sauce you get with the selects is nice, because it's got a bit of heat to it.
Yeah, I never have the sauces. I never use them.
Oh, I do for the barbecue one, because it's so much nicer than the standard barbecue sauce. Mm. It's kind of, they label it as kind of a Texas barbecue, but it's got that little slight kind of kick of heat to it. Nothing exciting, nothing too much, but just enough to kind of add to that southern friedness you get on the selects. So
yeah, because I do quite like a McDonald's. I like to have a McDonald's every now and again, but it's very rare. I think the one before this was when we had one together.
Yeah,
and then the one before that, couldn't tell you, don't know, probably the last time we had one together.
Yeah, possibly,
because both times we've done a little meal together. I think we've got McDonald's both times. But yeah, I don't have them often, but I do like them. And yeah, I won't get another one.
You know what's
nice? The chicken Big Mac.
The chicken Big Mac is very nice.
That's a good random
but
one.
But do you know what was nicer? And I'm not sure. I don't think I've spoken about this on the podcast before. So back in the day when I was working at Game in Watford, so I would have been 16, 17 at the time. At the bottom of the Harlequin, where Game and Electronics Boutique used to be, was a McDonald's, and it's still there. It was, used to be Woolworths before Woolworths moved all the way up to the top of the high street.
Not where the Bumblebee is.
Where the Bumblebee is. Yeah, you're right. So it's that McDonald's. It turns out for a period of time, I don't know if it still is, it's what they used to call a test McDonald's. So they would test
out...
You have
said something about being a test McDonald's before.
Yeah, but I don't think I've said about it on the podcast. I think I've said it to you before, but it basically was a test McDonald's. So when they were testing out new menu items before it went UK-wide, it would go there. Then they'd see what the response was like, and then they'd obviously calculate all the numbers across all of their test sites. And you'd get an answer. And the only reason I know is because I asked them one day, I said, I wouldn't get this burger that you've got here in St. Albans. And they said, we've never heard of it. And they said, well, that's because we're a test McDonald's. And they did a double chicken burger. All it was a normal chicken burger, but with two patties.
Oh, nice.
Full-size normal chicken burger. And that, for me, I am a chicken burger fiend. I could eat chicken burgers every day. Burgers. I mean, the 99p chicken mayo, which probably isn't 99p anymore, I'd happily have like three or four of those as a meal on my own. I love a chicken burger. And yeah, this double chicken, oh, it was good.
Yeah.
Then it disappeared. Apparently it wasn't popular. Huh. Wankers. But the McRib is it?
Yeah, bollocks is it.
I mean, all I've seen is TikTok videos of people saying it's shit.
Oh, really?
Literally this morning, I'm telling you that I did the Rustlers thing. Literally this morning was at least three people saying, I went and bought the Rustlers one, it's better. And someone else that went to Tesco and bought the sausage patties, breakfast patties, and just said, these are better, and just stick them in a nice soft roll and you're done.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I really don't get it, but I'm glad I'm not the only one.
The boys are talking a serious subject now. Take part as the boys complete NHS pre-approved ADHD and autism tests.
Right, this one's a little bit of a semi-serious one. Now, number one, a couple of weeks ago I told you that Kay got her autism diagnosis.
Yeah.
It took 2 years, not 1 year. So I just want to clarify that first of all, just in case anyone wanted to kind of say, oh my God, you got that really quick. No, it was 2 years at least. That's my fault. It just dragged out and kind of all folded into one. So 2 years, and that's pretty average. And we were lucky, actually. A lot of the time, it's not average, really, if I say that, is it? We were lucky it was 2 years. A lot of people wait a lot longer. Saying that, though, we've received our report for Kay, and it refers to Kay as him several times. And when it comes to the bottom section, which is saying about how to help Kay and strategies, it's quite obviously for a 4 or 5 year old. And it references making sure that maybe you give them some Lego therapy because they were shown to really have a connection with Lego, which never happened in the assessment with Kay. So it's quite obviously they've used someone else's template and fucked it up.
Yeah.
So a bit pissed off about that, but we still got the diagnosis. Anyway, this bit's a little bit serious because you know what? I've always thought I'm somewhat on the spectrum, whether it's ADHD or whether it's autism. Mm. You've had the similar thoughts. Mm. And the NHS provide two forms.
Yep.
They provide the AQ10, which is the autism spectrum quotient. So basically, you answer those questions and then it will tell you at the bottom what your score roughly is.
Yeah.
And then there's also an adult ADHD self-report scale, ASRS version 1.1 symptom checklist. And basically, you check these boxes and it will give you an idea of whether or not you should self-refer. Now, I want to first of all highlight, yes, my daughter has got a, well, stepdaughter, whatever you want to refer to, has a report to diagnose for this. We are not ripping the piss with this. We are genuinely interested. And for me, from a personal point, I think if more people just accepted that sometimes disabilities, neurospiciness, neurodivergence, whatever you want to call it, isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's not the end of the world. If you just go about trying to be scared and saying, oh, I really don't want to do it, or I don't know, oh, it's a bit worrying. Don't be. What's the worst that's going to happen? If you get diagnosed based on this, what's the worst that's going to happen to you, Rob?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're going to find out something about yourself
Yeah.
that you can then say, oh, actually, you know what? That's really interesting. That explains why this might be the case.
Yeah.
So we are going to go through this probably. We're going to read out the questions. Feel free to follow along, do your answers, and we'll read out the scoring at the end. This isn't a piss take. This is just genuinely for my interest and to point out that you should, if you have any query about that in your life or worry or thoughts, go and do it. There's nothing stopping you. You shouldn't avoid doing something, especially as you can do this on your own. You don't need someone to do it with you.
I don't think I'm on the autism spectrum in any shape or form. I think for me, it's an ADHD thing. If I'm going to clarify in what these two forms are saying, this is autism spectrum, and then this one says ADHD self-report scale. I think this first one, this AQ-10, is just going to come back to me and just say, no, you're just a fucking idiot.
Well, I'm pretty sure certain that my entire family, and let's face it, Derek exists, or existed.
Yeah, I think Derek.
My aunt Wendy exists. There is quite,
she exists.
There is quite obviously autism within my family, and that's not a bad thing. That's not a negative thing. I believe that I may be somewhere on that spectrum, but also the more I've read, more people have taught me about ADHD, I do genuinely think that there is possibility there.
Yeah.
So let's go through this, because we'll crack through this as quickly as we can, because obviously it's not something that we normally talk about, but it's hopefully interesting. People will follow along and maybe get an idea for themselves.
Yeah. So this one's 10 questions.
Okay, well, do you want to do this one then? You read out the answers and then I'll do the ADHD questions and read them out to you.
Okay, so this is the AQ-10 Autism Spectrum Quotient Test. So there's 10 questions and you can answer one of four things. Definitely agree, slightly disagree, definitely disagree. So let's just go for it. Number one, I often notice small sounds when others do not.
I definitely agree on that one.
I don't think I notice sounds any more or any less than anybody else.
Okay.
So I'd say I definitely disagree.
And
I
just
guess.
Just also to point out, I've not read any of these. I printed them out and that was it. I've not read them. I've not looked into them. I know that they existed, so I've printed them and that's it. So it's not like I've pre-read these and know what the answers are in my head already.
Yeah. Right, number two, I usually concentrate more on the whole picture rather than the small details. This is a problem for me because I have to do both with what I do for work. I have to know the whole picture, but also work on every small aspect of it to get the whole thing to work.
Yeah, you see, I'm going to put slightly disagree for this one on me, because as much as I look at the whole picture when a project starts, I will then
lose yourself.
I will just lose myself into one smaller part of it.
No, because I'm constantly the person telling my boss, no, you need to concentrate on this because we've got other things to do with this. So I'm going to say slightly agree. I slightly agree there, I suppose. Right, three. I find it easy to do more than one thing at once. Oh, yeah. I can do multiple things at once. I just don't have the concentration to keep hold of doing multiple things at once.
I was going
to
say, what's it talking about? More than one thing at once? As in play cards and watch TV, work on the computer and watch TV.
Well, that's it. You know,
if we're going to go down that route, I'm going to go slightly agree, because I can quite happily work with the TV on in the background or music on in the background while standing and dancing around. I would say that when I do that, I probably don't have the best concentration on the thing I'm meant to be working on.
Yeah, I mean, I can do two things at once. I couldn't have the television on and work. I can't do that. I will look at the television and not work.
Right, okay.
But I can do two tasks at once. Depends what the tasks are. So, number four. If there is an interruption, I can switch back to what I was doing very quickly. I can. It depends what it is again. So, slightly agree.
I'm going to go slightly agree on that one myself.
Five. I find it easy to read between the lines when someone is talking to me. Yeah, I can do that. I've got no problems with that. I can read between the
lines. I'll go slightly disagree, because I'm very open to saying that sometimes people do need to repeat themselves in that way you see on TV when they're going, you need to read between the lines because I'm saying it again. Then I'm like, oh.
I know how to tell if someone listening to me is getting bored. Yes, because I know my wife's face when I talk, so I definitely agree.
Oh, I'm going to go slightly agree, but I'd possibly go slightly disagree. I'll go slightly agree on that.
When I'm reading a story, I find it difficult to work out the character's intentions.
Slightly agree. Now, my wife is brilliant. She can read a book, read a story, and she can see where the story is going straight away. I'm useless at it. And that's one of the reasons, for example, I'm really bad and really worry about ever getting invited to something like a...
like a whodunit kind of thing.
One of those breakout rooms, yeah.
Oh, or right, a whodunit.
An escape room, yeah, that's it. Because I'm genuinely worried that I might be able to work out a puzzle on the wall, but I've got no idea what that would actually mean. I'm really bad with puzzles and stuff.
So I'm saying slightly disagree, because if I'm reading a book or listening to a book, I can kind of tell. But at the same time, I get it wrong. So I'm not always right, but I can tell there's an intention behind an action.
I would say more often than not, if I'm trying to guess what's going to happen, it's wrong.
Yeah. But then again, it's not asking us if we're right. We're able to figure out there is an intention. Okay, so number 8. I like to collect information about categories of things. Example, types of car, types of bird, types of train, types of plant. No, not really.
That's a really, really typical autism question, that one, isn't it? Basically, do you like making lists about things?
I don't do that.
I don't really do that. I'm going to definitely disagree on that.
Yeah, me too. Number 9. I find it easy to work out when someone is thinking or feeling just by looking at their face. Yes, I can do that.
I'm going to put slightly agree. I can do it. I reckon I'm probably more definitely agree, but there are moments I can look at someone and go, and I will. I know I do this, which is why I'm putting slightly agree. If I can't work out, I will ask them instead, what's wrong?
Yeah.
But often I get then told nothing is wrong, and then I feel stupid for asking. So I'm going to stick with slightly agree, I think.
Last question. I find it difficult to work out people's intentions. It depends how good they are at lying, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, I presume that's... Let's say that this is to do with... Everyone's being honest. We're not talking about lying.
Yeah, then I do not find it difficult to work out an intention. I definitely disagree. I can definitely tell if someone's doing something and they're doing it.
Yeah, you know, I will go definitely disagree as well, I think.
Right, very complicated scoring technique now.
Right.
So, scoring. Only 1 point can be scored for each question. Score 1 point for definitely or slightly agree on each of these items. So, on number one, question number one, if you answered definitely or slightly agree, you get a point.
Yeah.
And question 7, if you answered definitely or slightly agree, you get 1 point. So that was question 7. I did. Oh, no, I didn't. I did slightly disagree. Number 8, agree or slightly disagree, you get a point. 10, agree or definitely or slightly agree.
Okay.
So did I get that right? So definitely slightly agree.
For 1, 7, 8 and 10, if you said definitely or slightly agree, you get 1 point.
Okay. Now then, you score 1 point for definitely or slightly disagree.
On 2, 3.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 9.
Right, okay.
Right, how many did you get?
I got 4.
So I got 0.
Oh, well done.
Which is good for this chart. If the individual scores more than 6 out of 10, consider referring them for a specialist diagnostic truth assessment.
Now, what will be interesting will be when my wife listens back to this and says she disagrees and suddenly my score goes up.
So I got 0. Which is kind of what I was expecting. Yeah,
you expected
that. I think I'm on that chart.
Whereas I expected... A score, and that's what happened.
You got A score, yeah.
Okay, so this one is not 2 pages long. I think the scoring is on the next part. So let's ignore that second page for it. You know, we'll keep it to rest on it. So this one's a little bit more in depth. There's 18 questions.
Yeah.
Please answer the questions below, rating yourself on each of the criteria shown using the scale on the right side of the page. As you answer each question, place an X in the box that best describes how you have felt and conducted yourself over the past 6 months.
So specifically the last 6 months.
Specifically 6 months.
Not over the course of my life, last 6 months.
And there's never, rarely, sometimes, often, very often. Okay, so part A. How often do you have trouble wrapping up the final details of a project once the challenging parts have been done? And I am immediately going with very often. As I will take a project, I will look at the bits that really interest me first and that I know what I'm doing with. And then all the small bits will either be the bits that I really find it hard to care about or the bits I don't understand. Mm. And I will let them drag for ages before someone either pulls me into the brain or I have a complete meltdown that the project should have been finished and I literally blitz it for a day or 2 days to get it done.
I'm going
to
say often. I think if I was going on the more broader timeline, it would be very often.
Right.
But I think in the last 6 months, there have been times where I've forced myself to finish stuff and I finished them.
I
don't think I can go very often. I've got to say often because I've got to stick to the rules.
In the past 6 months, I've got several projects that are ongoing and I know this one already, annoyingly. How often do you have difficulty getting things in order when you have to do a task that requires organisation? And that is either never, rarely, sometimes, often, or very often.
How often do you have difficulty getting things in order?
So I presume what they're saying is when you're planning out your project, what you're going to do, how do you find planning that project? Do you find it easy going, this is what we'll do first, then second, then third, then fourth, then fifth? Or do you find that you put the plan, but then actually it's not the right order, so you'll start...
I go all over the place.
I'm all over the place, I'm going to say often.
Yeah.
For example, the projects I'm working on at the moment, what I should have done first is look at all these things and look at the groups that existed. Instead, I went and wrote the script that isn't going to be needed for like another month at least.
Because you found it more interesting.
Basically.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as me.
How often do you have problems remembering appointments or obligations?
Oh my God, all
very
the fucking
often
time.
And Jem cannot argue with that one.
The calendar is my life source. Right.
I told Jem to start using Apple iCalendar and I still don't really follow it properly and it drives her mad. I know it does.
I can't live without calendar. I can't.
No, I can't. And you know what? When you said, when are we recording this week? I nearly messaged you going, we did book this last week that it was going to be today.
Oh, yeah. You see what I mean?
I put it on my calendar. We need to have a calendar together. We'll do one on our company one. Okay, when you have a task that requires a lot of thought, how often do you avoid or delay getting started?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. Next question.
How often do you fidget or squirm with your hands or feet when you have sit out for a long time?
Yeah, or you spoke about this about me on the show.
I'm going to go often on that one because
constant.
I'm not so bad.
No,
but...
I'm constant. I'm doing it now. I'm twiddling my toes around.
How often do you feel overly active and compelled to do things like you were driven by a motor? Ooh, how often do you feel overly active and compelled to do things like you were driven by a motor?
I don't think...
I'm going to go sometimes.
I don't know. It really it really depends on how engaged I am in it and how much I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When we were doing the house build, I wasn't sleeping because I was working and I was working and being told to not do any more, but I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. But that was over 6 months ago. I think I've got to go in the middle because I'm not sure, really, because it really depends on how much I care about what it is and how much my engagement with it is.
So I've just had to go back and put a cross in all the boxes rather than a tick because it said a cross and I've just seen it says cross and it's like, oh, it said cross, I need to go. And it doesn't fucking matter and I've still gone and done.
Yeah, you still do.
Okay, how often, okay, we're on to part B now.
Okay.
How often do you make careless mistakes when you have to work on a boring, oh, for fuck's sake, right, very often.
Often.
Read that question out for all of you that are listening and following along. How often do you make careless mistakes when you have to work on a boring or difficult project? Very often. How often do you have difficulty keeping your attention when you are doing boring or... oh, my God, it's very often again.
Yep, very often.
So, boring or repetitive work, how hard is it to keep your attention? How often... but I'm sorry, that's anyone.
I think anyone's going to
get that.
Anyone
that's doing boring or repetitive work.
It's like a cheat question because everyone's going
to
do that.
I remember, and this isn't to do with this past 6 months, I know, but I was in between jobs and I've never been out of work. So I went and did agency work.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 2 days filling in an online web page of credit card details after credit card details at one of these kind of MBNA credit card people.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, after like doing 15 of them, it's like, I've got to do another 300 of these today.
Yeah.
Oh, soul destroying. How often do you have difficulty concentrating on what people say to you, even when they're speaking to you directly? Oh, sweet Jesus, that's very often.
Often.
Literally, in my team's meetings, I end up having the newspaper open, reading it while I'm listening. I've got to be doing something else while I'm... I cannot just... It's...
The next one, I just read ahead very often.
How often do you misplace or have difficulty finding things at home or at work?
I do it all the time.
I'm going to put often, but...
Doing it constantly. Every moment of my life, I'm looking for a tool that I've put somewhere.
Again, Jem, feel free to rein me in on that one and tell me actually it should have been something else. How often are you distracted by activity or noise around you?
Noise, no. Activities, yes. I'd be distracted by something happening. A dog. That'd distract me. Easily.
Yeah.
I can go back to the work or what I'm doing, but it would stop me. I can't just ignore it. I want to be like, what's that?
Yeah, I'm gonna put sometimes, but I feel maybe it could also be often. But I'm going to go with the lower option for that one.
I'm afraid I'm often.
How often do you leave your seat in meetings or other situations in which you're expected to remain seated? I have a standing desk for a reason. I wanted to get fit, and also it means that when my camera's not on, I can walk around the office, and I've got a headset. I walk and see the guinea pig, I go to the kitchen and make a drink. I actually did a poo during a meeting the other day. They didn't know, thank God. I had to double check I was muted, but I thought, I cannot wait any longer, and just went.
I'm not in those situations, ever. So it's rarely. Like, I can sit, I can make myself sit there, even through the uncomfortable, so I can make myself sit there.
I'm going to put sometimes on that, not because of what I've just said, but because there is not a time that I'm expected to remain seated. So I'm going to put it as in the meetings I have where I'm meant to be in front of my computer instead, and kind of go for that. How often do you feel restless or fidgety?
Yeah, often. Yeah.
How often do you have difficulty unwinding and relaxing when you have time to yourself? Often,
yeah.
I can't switch off. It's like at night, I'll come down here, I'll work. It's my time to do myself. What do? I turn the TV on and then I think, oh, I've got that script I was working on, and I'll just get on with that script. I can't unwind or relax. How often do you find yourself talking too much when you're in social situations?
I can have verbal diarrhea sometimes and go talk too much and say too much.
In the past 6 months, I'm going to say rarely, but I know what you mean. At the same time, if I'm in a group of people I trust or I like and I know well, I can go full on verbal diarrhea, especially if I'm talking about something I like. But, pardon me. When you're in a conversation, how often do you find yourself finishing the sentences of people you are talking to before they can finish them?
I don't do that.
I do. And it annoys Jem.
I don't do that.
I'm going to put often for that one. In meetings as well, I do as well, and I'm sure it pisses people off at work. How often do you have difficulty waiting your turn in situations when turn taking is required? Rarely, I'm going to put there.
How often do you have difficulty waiting your turn? I have a problem of waiting for my turn speaking. I find that I interrupt people a lot. In a group scenario of people talking, I'll interject in without really realising I'm doing it.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about it on that approach.
Talking, I do.
I'm going to put sometimes for that then. If we talk about it in that way...
I'm going to put sometimes. I will do that. How often...
Do you interrupt others when they're...
all the time.
So how often do you interrupt others when they are busy?
All the time. It's part of my job anyway. But
I'm going to put sometimes for that one because I'm not really sure of a score. How old were you when these problems first began to occur?
Forever.
Yeah, as long as I can remember.
Forever. All right.
Right.
What's the convoluted scoring method for this one then?
Okay, scoring and interpretation. If four or more marks appear in the darkly shaded box within part A, the patient has symptoms highly consistent with ADHD.
Oh.
Only one of mine wasn't in the dark boxes.
Only one of mine wasn't in the dark boxes, too.
Okay.
Okay.
So then the patient has symptoms highly consistent with ADHD in adults and further investigation is warranted. The frequency scores on Part B provide additional cues and can serve as further probes into the patient's symptoms. Pay particular attention to marks appearing in the dark shaded box. The frequency-based response is more sensitive with certain questions. No total score or diagnostic likelihood is utilised for the 12 questions. Oh, okay. So Part B basically means if you've got them in the dark, then it's worth talking about because that could be a focus point for the ADHD side of things.
Which one didn't you have in the greys in the top section?
How do you feel? How often do you feel overly active or compelled to do things?
Oh, same with me, yeah.
Now, I could put a tick in the grey for that. And I know this is nearly at 25 minutes, but the other sections were shorter. I don't care. It says active, so I consider that about an activity. I don't know if it's genuinely something that exists. It's called ADHD spending. Mm. If I get an idea in my head about wanting something, I will then continually look it up on different web pages. Look, the golf clubs we bought to go golfing, we haven't used them this year. We used them about three times the year before when I first got them.
Yeah.
And I had to go and buy that. I wanted my own set of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I then haven't got out and used them, but I couldn't control myself. I wanted them. And you could say that for a lot of the purchases I do. I don't feel that I then necessarily have the control in myself. I do genuinely feel like I want to, or I am being pushed towards it by myself. So maybe I could put a tick in there, but in the past 6 months, no.
It didn't have anything on there which I thought, when I have to have things a certain way. I used to when I was younger.
That's more OCD, and I didn't do an OCD checklist, but that may also be something else.
Yeah, but I think it's linked to some of it. Like when I was younger, if I did something with one hand, I had to do it with the other. Anything that happened with one side of me, I had to do with the other. You know, things like that. It's kind of
so that's traditional OCD.
When I tried to explain it to the wife a few weeks ago, we were talking about this kind of stuff. I was saying to her because she used to find it funny, but she doesn't find it funny now. She kind of gets it. She understands it. When I was trying to explain, she was like, "For you, it's an annoyance. For me, it's a physical feeling inside of me. Like I can actually this thing that's happened." I'm reacting physically and internally to it. I can comprehend a solid item that is not good because of that. To you, it's just like, oh, it's just in the wrong place. I'll move it. To me, my body is like disgusted by it. Like so it's a physical thing. So my body is being compelled to move that object back to where it should be. That's 100%
OCD.
Yeah.
Which is, again, part of the same neurospiciness. It's a giant spectrum of things. People say it's not a line, it's a circle. Yeah. And that makes utter sense.
But when you think of OCD, but maybe it's just again in my head, I think of it as being repetitive, like washing your hands loads or touching something 10 times.
No,
those
are the generic ones that they get put onto film and TV. Mm. And what people don't understand is OCD could be a huge amount of things like having to put the things in the same place every day. If you, I know, if I put Jem's keys on the wrong hanger and she walks past it and sees it, she can't leave it. She has to put it back on her hanger, for example.
Yeah.
Kay has her own little habits that it has to be in that exact order. But that could be down to the ASD diagnosis, but that could also be slightly OCD. Jem, not me as much, but Kay is very similar. If she has started something, she has to finish it. You can't just say, oh look, I know you've started moving the living room round, let's go and have lunch and we'll finish it afterwards. No, I've got to do it now. It's got to be finished now.
Let me tell you one that I've got. I've told you, you'll know this because I've told you this on the Three Does One Pot. We spoke about this.
Okay.
I'm doing it right now. While you were talking, my brain drifted off and I'm looking at what that says there, Jurassic Park. In my head, I had to break that down into make that symmetrical. So in my head, I put it into twos. Jurassic Park. And then I had to do it backwards. And then I have to do it backwards without looking at it. Kur ap kiss. Nice. See, I just have sort of Kur ap kiss ar udge.
Nice.
And I have to, and it's based on how tired I am. If I'm really tired, it gets worse. And I'll do it with road signs. I do it with every single word I see.
Oh, see, the thing for me with tiredness, and I don't think it's anything to do with this. If I'm tired, something I don't like will just play around in my head nonstop. So I can't stand, let's say, one of the theme songs to one of Kay's shows.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm tired, it will just loop nonstop. And I mean nonstop. Yeah. And I can literally hear it. I know no one else can hear it, but to me, it's like someone's playing it on a TV speaker behind me, and that's all I hear nonstop, and it stops, and then it starts again.
Do you ever play out scenarios in your head that just have never happened?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, that must be a common one, surely.
All the time.
There's a whole story arc of something that something's happened and it hasn't happened, and then I'll get annoyed by it.
And it can be somewhat negative a lot of the time.
Oh, almost always.
Yeah.
99% of the time it's a negative thing, yeah.
And let's face it, we both know this one. And I think the whole world knows this one, really, if they're honest about it. We have a meeting in an hour. Nothing major, just I'll have a meeting in an hour with you.
If you could tell me that you have a meeting, please, you could tell me whether it's good or bad.
Can you please tell me what the meeting's about? Just say we need to have a meeting. Yeah. Not we need to have a meeting and then fuck off. Just we need to have a meeting. It's about this project. Fine, I'll be fine then.
Yeah.
As soon as you just say we need to have a meeting and don't fill in anything more on that.
Yeah.
I am straight away thinking I'm getting fired. Or yeah, something I'd go straight
to that. The wife does that too. She goes straight to that. Yeah. Doomsday. Yeah.
Anyway, it was an important one. I'm really glad you done it. Do you think you're going to send yours off to your doctor and say, I did this, and this is what I scored?
Well, I don't even know who my doctor is anymore. I've gone through three. They keep leaving.
Don't worry, you've got an e-consult. You can just scan it and send it to them.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I'm tempted. I genuinely might do it.
Yeah. I might see what the wife scores she gets.
Ooh.
Have you longed to read your lovely child a more modern fairy tale? The boys have gone too far this time. There are nightmares aplenty in this next bit.
We have recently been discussing when we've been meeting up that we both read to our children. And for me, we always read to Kay when she was smaller. And she's now a really good reader. And she loves reading. And Mighty adores having a book at bedtime. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is for yours. Yeah. The same is for your tea.
Yep. He has like two or three every night. We have seven. I think the most we've done is eight.
It's wonderful. And seeing how happy and how much they enjoy the book, and then you realise how much they get from that book. Oh, you know, yeah. They're learning language, they're learning stories, they're learning imagination. I'm guessing you're like me, you put voices on.
He doesn't let me.
He doesn't let you?
I used to, when he was really small, I would read things that I was interested in. So I read The Hobbit to him and the half of the first Lord of the Rings book, and then we're going through Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he could then start really understanding the words that I'm saying, I then move to the children books. Yeah. And then he picks. But yeah, and I used to do voices. When I was doing Harry Potter, everyone had a voice. The Hobbit, everyone had their own voices as much as I could remember. But he doesn't like me to do the voices. The same as he doesn't like me singing either, which is a frustration.
Oh, that's interesting. T loves me doing the voices. Now, funnily, Kay was very much like that. When she was young, much younger, she used to say, no voices, no voices.
Yeah, he does.
But
that.
Then eventually she wanted the voices. So we've got the Little Princess storybooks, which Kay loved and T loves, and mm-hmm. I've got a specific voice I do for her, and I've got all of the family members in that I've got a voice for. I'd need the book if I was going to do it now, because without the book it's really hard to actually imagine, remember how you do it. It's weird to say that. But yeah, then we're reading The Runaway P is his favourite book at the moment. Okay. So doing that one, and he laughs because I jerk my head looking at him when I say certain words, and he just thinks it's hysterically funny.
Yeah, I do stuff like that. He likes it if I change the characters to like being mummy or something. So we were reading Snow White.
Yeah.
And I made mummy Snow White.
Nice.
So he liked that. He thought that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't let me do the voices, which is true.
So yeah, we've got Super Poop. That's another book he's really enjoying at the moment. But then we also have the Lady Bird Classics, which we've talked about in the Three Dads podcast a long time ago. And they're pretty tame. They're not the grim fairy tales version, let's face it.
Can I interject here? It's so funny we're doing you saying grim and we're doing this because you know what Loki did today?
Eat the Grimm's fairy tales?
He ate the Grimm's fairy tale book. I'll have to go home and send you a photo. He took that off of the book in the middle of the bookshelf. It was in the middle of the bookshelf.
He's a raptor.
Took that one out and tore the cover off it.
He's either a dwarf in a dog suit or a raptor.
And he also took one of T's toys, Zero, and has destroyed it. And he has not noticed yet.
Oh, no.
I haven't told him. I'm waiting for that moment.
Oh.
Oh, indeed.
Well, anyway, we've been reading the Lady Bird books. You know what the Lady Bird books are.
Yeah,
the world knows what the Lady Bird books, but if you don't know, they're early reading specials. So they are stories that are considered classic that have been somewhat changed a little bit to make them easier to read. And we've done The Runaway Pancake, Three Pigs, all those sort of stories. And he does enjoy them. And it made me think, what could we do if we made our own version of one of those stories?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat Grimm's fairy tale, maybe sometime, let's say, Istenderize it, you know, make it just miserable or dark. Mm-hmm.
So we have.
I'll let you go first. What story did
you
choose?
I'm not going to tell you a story. You're going to figure it out as the story goes on.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Because I've kind of changed it pretty much, but you'll know it by the end.
Okay.
So, here we go. I might put a voice on too by the end of it. Dorothy and Francis lived a quiet life. They loved each other dearly. Dorothy worked as a part-time nursery nurse and Francis ran a bakery in the local village. They mostly kept to themselves. To and from work, hobbies. Dorothy loved it when Francis would bring home fresh cakes and buns from the bakery every evening. Dorothy and Francis had everything. Everything but the one thing they wanted. A family. For years they'd tried and for years they'd failed, but there was just nothing the doctors could do.
So it's already really fucking dark.
Eventually the pain took its toll on Dorothy and she went into herself, no longer going on her once beloved walks through the fields around her cottage. She took less and less hours at the nursery, spent less and less time with her husband, locking herself away in her craft room painting. Francis just couldn't take it anymore. He wanted his wife back, but what could he do? He loved his wife so much, but all he knew was how to bake, and so he did. Francis buried himself in his work for weeks. He toiled alone into the late hours in his bakery. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and finally, there it was. Beautiful and new and wonderful, but above all else, theirs. You know where it's going, don't you?
It's Pinocchio.
We'll see. Francis quickly stowed his creation away and closed the bakery and ran home to Dorothy. As Francis entered the house, Dorothy was waiting for him. "Where have you been, husband?" she said, worryingly. "I'm so sorry. I've been so distant these last few months, but I'm okay now," she said. "I've been working for us." Francis placed his bag gently on the floor and slowly opened the zip. "What is it, Francis?" she said. "Just wait," he replied. "Come on, little one. Out you come. It's safe." Slowly, two little hands pulled down the front of the bag and out came the tiniest of little boys, swollen and disfigured, but still a little boy. Dorothy ran to him and embraced him in a hug. All was right in her world at last. A little boy, gentle, cuddly, and smelled so sweet. He was perfect. It was a week before Detective Brooks, investigating a stew of missing children in the village, knocked on the old cottage door. He's laughing. It was an hour before he got the warrant to enter the property, but only a moment before he found the bodies. An elderly couple, skinned and hung from the ceiling, and a cassette player, covered in dried blood, on a dining table set for one. Brooks gingerly pressed play on the tape cassette player, and a gravelly voice permitted from the player's speakers.
"Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me.
I'm the gingerbread man.
Do you like it?
Oh, brilliant. Oh my god. That is oh boy. So much to decompress on that. So much to decompress.
Yeah.
His swollen little body.
Yep, and the missing children.
Well, I M. Night Shyamalan mine.
Okay, right, great, there's a twist.
And it's the Three Little Pigs.
Okay.
Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. They lived with their mother, who was in crippling debt, mainly from childcare costs. My children, it is time you left home. I'm afraid my debt has become so great, I have had to sell my body to the butcher just to break even. Mother Pig turned to the oldest of the pigs. You remember the deal we have in the town. Once I am gone, you are responsible. Yes, Mother, he replied as they wept, packing their bags with their measly possessions. They didn't have much, for they were only pigs, and they were poor. Walking out of town, the children talked about their plans. I shall build a fine house right there, said the youngest, looking to a small hill in the distance. Just as he finished his sentence, a man came around the corner carrying bundles of hay. Excuse me, sir, could I have some hay for my house I'm going to build over there? The man laughed in the young pig's face. And how will a small pig like you pay for such fine hay? He had barely finished his sentence when the oldest pig interrupted. You shall get your money, sir, by the end of the day. Please give my brother the hay and I shall go and get payment now. The man smiled at the young pigs. If that is the case, then I shall of course give you hay. And with that, left bundle after bundle on the hilltop. A few hours passed and the two brothers worked hard. The house of hay was complete, but there was no sight of their oldest brother. I do hope he is okay, they murmured. When the moon was at its highest point, the brothers heard the oldest pig come in. Brother, where have you been and why do you limp so? I have made payment for your hay, young brother. You may now sleep and be safe. Come now and let us sleep. In the morning, the two young pigs left their brother in his house of hay. You have made a wonderful home. But alas, it is too small for all of us, and our hay fever is out of control. At a little past midday, the pigs came to a clearing in the woods. I shall build a house of sticks here, declared the second pig. He was terribly unfit and had hated walking since the day they were kicked out of home. Nearby was a lumberjack's house. The oldest pig knocked and again agreed to make payment if sticks could be provided. The lumberjack began stacking piles of sticks as the oldest pig set off for town once more, limping all the way. The chubby pig was not good at building, and by the time the oldest pig returned, he was sleeping with sticks covering him like a blanket. Oh, my brother, your laziness will be the end of you, but I cannot help any more than I already have. And with that, he limped off into the darkness. The sun rose early the next morning, its summer's heat beating down on the town and surrounding area. The youngest pig in his hay house woke with the golden rays on his face. Before he knew what was happening, a booming voice came from outside. Little pig, let me in. A chill ran through him. It was the wolf, a debt collector from the town. No, no, Mr. Wolf, I shall not let you in. In that case, I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. Without a second warning, the wolf blew the house down and grabbed the pig. Your mother owed money, and by relation, that means you do too. You are coming to the butcher's with me. With that, the wolf snapped his neck, bundled his limp body into a Hessian bag. The middle pig had woken up with the sun and began building his house again. This house is much better than any other house I have ever seen, he said. While inside, the booming voice once again came from outside. Little pig, let me in. The pig opened the door, not remembering what his mother said about opening doors to strangers. Oh, said the wolf, I was looking forward to blowing this shit heap of a house down. Never mind. The wolf reached into the house, grabbed the confused pig, and two, snapped his neck before stuffing him into the Hessian bag. I am good at my job, he whistled to himself as he walked off towards the third little pig. Told you it was long. The oldest of the three pigs sat tired on a log. The sun bathed him in its warm glow as he rubbed his shoulder and hip. I have done what I must, now I await my reward and peace at last. The wolf approached the pig and sat next to him on the log. Why did you do this, little pig? Why did you tell the butcher where he could find your brothers? Sighing, the little pig turned to the wolf. My mother left our family in debt. She blamed childcare when it was her crippling alcoholism and debauchery that left us with nothing. Why do you limp and rub your shoulder so? Asked the wolf. My brothers cost me an arm and a leg. The butcher took them as funding for their rotten houses. It was then I realized what I must do. Looking angry, the pig continued, the butcher took my arm and a leg for a family Sunday dinner, but promised if I gave more, I could have my home back, debt-free. The pig continued, this wolf is why you found my brothers in despairingly crap houses. They were idiots, runts. The only house you can be safe in is one of bricks, and now that you have collected, I have safety. Sadly, the wolf said, that would be true were the butcher not a horrible man. Whoever heard of making a contract with a pig? I knew he could not be trusted, the pig wept, as the wolf ate him then and there, for the wolf had been promised payment in pork. The end.
I like it, yeah.
Fucking horrible and depressing, I know. It just weirdly flowed out of me, that one.
Yeah, I like that. I was enthralled.
Did you see the M. Night Shyamalan bit coming,
though?
You
did M. Night Shyamalan it, yeah. Well, I didn't know, didn't see him getting eaten at the end.
Oh,
I,
yeah,
thought, well, I thought the other M. Night Shyamalan bit was the Shyamalan in.
Yeah, no, I double-twisted it,
you
didn't
Shyamalan
I?
Like, yes, Shyamalan.
He lost his arm and his leg to pay for his brother's crap houses for the idea that he'd get his own house back.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
He's just a fucking pig.
Yeah.
It really drives me out, the little pig story, because it's just like, oh, can I have some hay? Of course you can. Can I have some sticks? Yeah, of course you can. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Even in those times, they'd be like, A, you're a pig, and B, this is my livelihood.
Yeah.
No.
No.
It's like the gingerbread man as well. That's an awful bloody story as well.
And yeah, they create a sentient life, then try and eat him.
Yeah, and it's same with the runaway pancake. The mother has seven hungry boys, so she makes a giant pancake.
Mm-hmm.
It decides it doesn't want to be eaten because it becomes sentient, so it just rolls away. And then a man basically goes, oh, it's a pancake rolling away from me. I want to eat it. Then a cat does. Then a cow also wants to eat it. And a dog wants to eat it. And then finally the pig at the end is like, I'll get on my snout, I'll help you get across the water. And then eats the sentient being. It's just like, these are miserable fucking stories.
Yeah.
They are horrible, but they're not horrible in the Ladybird version.
No.
That's all this was, really. It was just an excuse to make horrible stories.
Yep.
If you've got a horrible story, send it to us and we'll read it out on our version of... Oh, what did the kids' TV show used to be called?
Well, a Cracker Jack.
Jack and Ori.
Isn't this going to come out like right by Halloween?
Oh, shit, yeah.
That could be our Halloween then.
Oh, there you go. Ooh, spooky Halloween story.
It's that time of the episode again when the boys are done, and I'm pissing off for a well-earned poo. Huzzah.
Right, ladies and gents, thank you very much for listening to another episode of the Variety Show podcast. You can find out more of us on channel84.co.uk. That is the home to Studio Channel 84, a indie podcast network that hosts shows such as the Variety Show podcast, the Untitled Trek Show, Lightly Used, and Who Takes the Socks Off. If you would like to find out more about our show, go to channel84.co.uk and look up the Variety Show, and there you will find all our social media links, episode links, and you'll find out our email addresses as well. If you would like to email us, you can email rob@channel84.co.uk, tj@channel84.co.uk, or if you'd like to email both of us at exactly the same time with the same message, send it to podcasts, that's plural, so podcasts@channel84.co.uk. Pardon me. Rob, that was a really fun episode. Weird episode, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of parenting, bit of autism, bit of McRib.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll see you in a couple of weeks when... It sounds like I'm saying when your period's gone. I don't mean that. When your Aunt Julie's left.
Julia, Auntie Julia.
Oh, when Auntie Julia has left.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aunt Julie's our character, isn't it?
Aunt Julie is ours, who is not based on Auntie Julia.
It's me, Aunt Julia. I've got a gammy vagina and I've got small tits.
Gammy vagina.
I can't remember what we used to say about her. We haven't had her for so long.
It's my corns and my warts on my feet, darling.
Oh, darling.
Give me a kiss.
Jesus, right. Love you lot.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
That was The Variety Show. Thank you for listening. The next episode will be out in 2 weeks' time. This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.